Amen. Anywhere. I believe that we need to truly, truly understand that sometimes we, as men down here upon this earth, we may seem as though that we are by ourselves. But when we carry our Lord in our hearts, He will go anywhere with us. Amen. We just have to continue to do what He has commanded us to do. Amen. On last week, we started looking at 1 Timothy 6, verse 11. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. And as Paul writes to Timothy, he tells him here in 1 Timothy 6, verse 11, "But as for you, O man of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness." Now, as I stated on last week, you go back and you read those things in which he was supposed to flee and then remember the things and put these things into your life that he was supposed to pursue. The things in which we need to understand that these are the things that God is pleased with. For us to be righteous, acting in accord with divine or moral law, that we may have godliness, devoutness, and moral uprightness, that we may have faith, the assurance of things hoped for, and the conviction of things not seen. Which leads us to the next one, which is love. To have ardent affection and feeling. To have esteem or high regard. Now we have to know and understand once again, when we look at this word love, it is an action word. It's a word that flows off the lips and out of the tongues of men so easily. It's a word that is in our vocabulary, our everyday language, and we just throw it around so loosely. Let's quit speaking the word love, and let's start showing love. Amen. Love is something that we need to learn. Love is something that we need to express. Love is something that we need to have in our lives. And again, it is something that we need to demonstrate without force. That's right. If I have to force you to love me, I don't want your love. Yeah. God has never, ever forced himself on anybody. He demonstrated his love toward us willingly, and we must demonstrate our love toward him and others willingly. If someone has to make you do something, that something is not worth doing. Or shall I say, it is not worth doing toward the individual, and that individual should not accept it if you have to be made to do it. Now, children, understand this. Yes, we as parents, as grandparents, we must insist you to do certain things. And that is, again, a requirement of God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So when a parent tells a child to do something, that child must be ready to do it. And if not, must be willing to suffer the consequences of not doing it. But love, I'm not going to force you to love me. I'm not going to keep asking you to love me. God is not doing it. And we as men, we should not do it to others. But here in the book of 1 John chapter 4, when we really get a good understanding from God's word, what love is all about. 1 John chapter 4 and the verse is 16. We read from verse 7 down through the end of the chapter and we understand that God is love. And he tells us exactly why he is love, and it tells us exactly why we should love him and why we should love others. We find in verse 16 of 1 John chapter 4, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Now, you a child of God, you say? Do you love? Do you love the way God has loved others? Do you love the way God has loved you and I? See, God, the love that he has is an agape love. You don't have to, and we have to understand, we didn't do anything to deserve his love. He freely showed his love, or he freely gave his love to us. And what did he love the most? Who did he love the most? We find in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, in that verse, you do not see where God loved the world the most. You see where he loved his Son the most. Understand what I'm saying here. When you sacrifice something that you love. He loved his Son, and he gave his Son for you and I. And in order to pursue after what God has shown to us, this love, we must abide in him. Understand the word pursue. It means to diligently go after something. Have you ever heard anyone say, he's in low pursuit? I don't think so. I don't think so. When you hear those cop cars, and some of you do not live here on the best end, you don't hear those cop cars rushing down the road, pursuing anybody. Hear what I said now. Slowly. Did you hear what I said? Rushing. When you rush, you're in a hurry. When we pursue after that which is right, we do not do it in a slow manner. We do it in a speedily manner. Because that's what God wants. He don't want us to be haphazardly coming after him. He don't want us to half-step after him. He wants us to do it with some meaning. Moving with a purpose. That's the way we should love him. We love him when we lay down. We love him when we wake up. We love him as we go about our business. And as we love him, we love others. And many times we see people that do not love the way they're supposed to love. Why? Because they do not love themselves. The Bible teaches that we're supposed to love others as we love ourselves. But if you don't love yourself, how can you love anybody else? How can you love him, the creator of mankind, the one that created us in his image? If we do not love ourselves, we cannot love him. So we need to pursue after love. And people need to see this in our lives. We need to be willing to help out the next man. You read there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. The love chapter. Love requires work. Love requires work. And yes, we have to put the work in and day out. Why do you love him? Why do you love her? Why do you love your children? Why do you love your jobs? Why do you love the world? When you think about all those things, it requires work. man meets a woman. Man says, I want you to marry me. Sometimes the woman says, I want you to marry me. Whichever the case may be, you marry that individual. Did you really know what you were getting into? Did you know that that man was the sloppiest person on earth and that you had to put some work in to get him to realize what his responsibility was to the home? Or did you know that that woman could not cook and you had to put some work in and get her to realize that you like a good meal from time to time? And then you decided to have children. Did you not realize that those children needed to be taught how to be obedient, how to clean their room, how to be respectful? Then you wanted to, well, you should have did this before you ever got married, is get out and get you a job. And realize that those people on that job really don't care anything about you, but you understand what God's word says, that if a man don't work, a man don't eat. And then these people that you associate in the world, you found out that they really don't care anything about you. But in all those things, you had to show forth love. And you found out that it required a lot of work. And still to this day, it requires work. Work in the home, loving the husband, loving the wife, loving the children. The work on your job, loving those co-workers that want you to do all the work. Loving your employers, loving them because you know this is what God desires you to do. And you give 100% because you're not working for them, you're working for the Lord. And loving the world. Appreciate that prayer, brother. We need to go out there and we need to do as Jesus did, seek and to save that which is lost and bring them to Christ, teaching them the word of God because we love them. We don't love the things that they're doing because they're out there in the world, but we love them. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3. If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. But look what it says again. Love never ends. Do you believe that? That love never ends. And verse 7 again. Love bears all things. See, we have to put up with some things when we're a child of God. Believes all things. You say that you are a child of God, then you need to believe what the word says and love what the word says. Hopes all things. There is a heaven, and one day we all hope to get there. Amen. Endures all things. You have wronged me time and time again, but that's okay because I have love. And I'm willing to demonstrate this love toward you. Not just tell you that I love you, but to show you that I love you. Amen. And yes, once again, it requires work. Jesus went to the cruel cross of Calvary. Do you think that it was easy for him to do that? It required work. Remember his prayer in the garden. Father, If it be thy will, allow this cup to be removed from me. But not my will be done, but your will be done. It required work, restraint. He went to the cross for you and I. For the sins of the world, he gave his life. That is love. What are you willing to give today? What are you willing to give today? Think about it. You know, if I walked up to Brother Simmons and I said, Brother Simmons, you know, you tell me that you love me from time to time. Just give me two of those rings. That's all I'm asking for. Oh, brother, you really don't want these rings, do you? See, we're gonna have to do some talking. I heard someone tell him this morning, I need those hands. Somewhere on that line, I was ear hustling, so I didn't get it quite right. I know I didn't, but the person that said it is sitting there smiling right now. He know who I'm talking about. You think Brother Simmons said, here, take my hands. No. He didn't do that, but that doesn't mean he don't love him. But if it was something that we really needed and we asked Brother Simmons for, he loves us. And he would give it to us if it was in his possession to do so. But we don't need those rings that he has. What we need is we need Jesus. Amen. And we need to understand, now he may need them. We need Jesus, and we need to understand that Jesus did what the Father wanted him to do, and we must do the same. Amen. Love requires work. Amen. And then steadfastness. Forbearance under suffering and endurance in the face of adversity. Steadfastness. You say one word about me and I'm ready to give up. You say one word about me and I'm ready to fight. You know, there are certain things we do when we start talking about steadfastness, and there's a whole lot of things that we do that or don't do that we're supposed to do. Steadfastness, standing firm, the Bible teaches us. That's what steadfastness is all about. You're going through something in this life, stand firm. You're having difficult times, hold on to the hand of God. Amen. This is what he requires of us. Steadfastness. Amen. Jesus, when they railed against him, what did he do? Did he rail back at him or reviled against him? Did he revile back at him? When they slung insults against him, did he say, well, I'm going to be nice to y'all this morning. My sister was doing some teaching. And in the classroom, and you know, you're not supposed to put your hands on the children. Y'all know that's wrong. But my sister was young, and she was in that classroom, and one of the students said something to her, and she knew very well that she couldn't jack that little girl up. And you know what she looked at that little girl and said when that little girl said something nasty to her? She looked at her and said, your mama? You know what it did to that little girl? It made that little girl realize that this person here is not to be played with. You know, I had a teacher tell one of the students when I was in the eighth grade, that student was acting up in the classroom and just steady doing this and that and the other. And he looked at that student and he said, you know, I can get my hair just as nappy as yours is. And you know what that caused everyone else in that class to realize? That this man wasn't to be played with. Now, I want you to think about Jesus just for a moment. Think about who he was and what he went through. And what he endured and not doing what the others did, how much respect he gained. We look at him today not as being a softy. We don't look at him as being a pushover. We don't look at him as being weak or yellow with a yellow stripe down his back. We do not look at Jesus like that. We look at him as being our king. Why? Because that is what God made him. Steadfastness. Are we willing to put up with the little things down here upon this earth in order to get to where he is? If we're not the people that God wants us to be. We're not the people that God know that we can be. And we must put up with some things. In James chapter 5, I just wanted to share those few things with you all because I know good and well that some of us act the same way from time to time. Oh, we're all human. We're all going to do some things that we shouldn't do. Or we're all going to say some things that we shouldn't say. But yet, we need to understand that there's a time where we need to say, I'm just going to stand firm. I'm just going to stand firm. James chapter 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient until it receives the early and late rains. How many of you have ever planted something and got so impatient that you went out there and you dug it up to see why it wasn't growing? That is the most ridiculous thing that a person can do. But guess what? I've done it. Why are these seeds not coming up? I know I planted them right here. And you know, I can remember a time digging up those seeds. And you know what that seed was just getting ready to do? Exactly what God designed it to do. The little green part was just about sprouting. And the best one I can remember digging up is a watermelon seed. And y'all know how those things, just that green just pop out of that seed. And you know what I tried to do? I tried to cover it back up. I've disrupted the growth of this seed. Now, if I don't get anything, guess whose fault it is? It's my fault. Somebody walked in here the other day. Actually, they were walking out saying something about they still had some sweet potatoes. And somebody else said, I don't know why they're saying that. They're not going to give them up. But you know why that person has sweet potatoes? Because they were patient. They planted those potatoes, and those potatoes yielded forth fruit. Y'all didn't hear me say seeds, did you? Because you don't plant potatoes from seeds. You plant a potato in the ground, and the potato then grows other potatoes after it does all those things. Plant one and then go dig it up. Find out that sometimes it's not exactly what you think. But listen to what God's word says in verse 8. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Amen. Now, we can preach about Job, and we can look at Job's life, and we can look at what Job had and what God allowed Satan to take from him. But what I really want you to see and what I want you to understand is the patience of Job. Job stood firm. What did his wife say? Why don't you curse God and die? Job said, that's a good idea. No, he did not. Job said, just give me a minute. Let me think about this thing. No, he did not. Job said to his wife, you sound like one of the foolish women. And you know, in order for him to say that to her, she had to understand and know what foolish women sounded like. And I believe that when he told her that, she stepped back and she probably thought about what she had said. I'm just speculating now. But Job didn't give in. Amen. Job didn't turn his back on God. Job realized something. In order to be steadfast, he must take the good along with the bad, or the bad along with the good. Job says something that a lot of us need to realize, that we brought nothing into this world and we most definitely can take nothing out of it. So whatever God has given us and whatever God takes for us, we need to say, as Job said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. That's steadfastness. In the middle of adversity, facing adversity, Job stood fast. How are we willing to stand today? Steadfastness is something that we need to pursue after. No, give me time. This is us again. Give me time to deal with this situation, and then I'll turn my life over to God. No. Because as you're dealing with a situation, God may be dealing with you. So we have to face whatever comes our way, and we have to be steadfast. In the book of Matthew chapter 18, See, some people don't really understand what patience is all about, or what steadfastness is all about, and doing the things that God wants them to do is all about. They don't understand, so they do what they want to do. But we find here in Matthew chapter 18, a man wants to be forgiven, but yet he don't want to forgive. And people from time to time, they want you to have mercy upon them. But we are quick to say, no, I don't have time for that. I need to teach you a lesson. No, what we need to do is we need to learn a lesson. The Bible says here in Matthew chapter 18, we read two verses, verse 26 and verse 29. If you would look at them and understand what they're saying, you have done well. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. He said, all I need is a little time. That's all I need is a little time. And if you would give me that time, I will pay you everything. See, sometimes we need to pray for the same thing. Have patience with me. You know, we want people to be patient with us, but yet we don't want to be patient with them. We want God to be patient with us, but yet we don't want to be patient with Him. Have you ever wanted to speak God alone? Lord, you said you would do this. When are you going to do it? Hurry up, I can't wait any longer. Yes, you can wait. If you're talking to God, you very well wait, because if you say, I can't wait any longer, well, you need to know what the alternative is. Okay, you can't wait no longer. You die right here in your sins. There's a home for you. We need to learn patience. He, in the verse of 29, what does he say again? So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. I will pay you. One received that patience, and the other did not. One received patience and the other did not. Who are you patient with today? Who are you, giving time to get things right? See, that person may not be doing what you want them to do, but they're doing all they can do. Again, we have to have steadfastness. Again, forbearance under suffering and endurance in the face of adversity. We have to do what God wants us to do. Patience is a virtue. You know, we have had our patience tried and tried again, and we have stood strong, being who God wants us to be. And again, people say, how did you put up with all of that? How are you able to sustain and continue to give thanks unto God for all that you've gone through? Because He is God. And He is in control of all things. So therefore, we hold on. And last, gentleness. Gentleness. Kindness. Consideration. How many of us have it? How many of us are kind to people? How many of us are considerate of the next man? There are so many stories we can tell about people being unkind to us. How many stories can you tell about somebody being kind to you? Or about someone being inconsiderate of you in your needs? How many stories can you tell about those things? A spirit of fairness and compassion. A spirit of fairness now and compassion. This is what gentleness is all about. In the book of Philippians chapter 4, the Bible teaches us that we need to be gentle to all men. Oh, man, I believe that sometimes we are respect a person. I don't have to be kind to him. He's not my brother. He's not a child of God. It's not what the Bible says, is it? It doesn't say that you don't have to be kind to him. Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. To everyone, not just your brothers and sisters in Christ, but to everyone. The people you meet out on the street, be nice to them, be kind to them, be considerate of them, show compassion towards them. Somebody did you. What's the problem? What's the problem? Received a phone call on Friday, was it? This man called and he left a message and I called him back. He didn't answer. Then he called me back and I answered. And he talked for about 20, 25 minutes. And I sat there and I listened and I agreed with some of the things he said. And we talked about some of the others. And then I was trying to show kindness to him and be considerate of him. And I think I did a very good job. Just me thinking to myself now. I'm not trying to toot my own horn or anything. But if you need somebody to talk to, or you want someone to listen to you, be that person that somebody can talk to. Show compassion. Show kindness. You know, I'm not a football fan, but if you want to talk football, I sit there and listen to you, and I nod my head every now and then. You may say some name that I realize or that I recognize, and I say, oh, yeah, I heard of him. And you keep talking and talking and talking and talking. You done lost me, but I'm still listening. I believe that's that spirit of fairness. I'm being fair to you. Now I want you to be fair to me and listen to what I have to say. Let's talk about the Word of God. And let's see what God has in store for us. And let's do the things that God is pleased with. But again, he says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Somebody needs to say something about you that he's a fair person. He's a kind person. He's a compassionate person. Along with all the bad things that they say. Because they're always talking about the good things about you. You need to examine your ways. If you're giving in to everything and listening to what everybody is saying and agreeing with everything that they're saying, then something is wrong. Something is wrong. You're hanging out with too many good people and you're not associating with the bad people. See, Jesus did both. And when he hung out with the bad people, the good people talked about him. Don't he know what type of person that is? It was Jesus. Yes, he knew. Who needs a doctor? Do sick people? Yes. Do well people? No. In that sense there, no. We all need Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4, the first verse. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That verse one more time. Verse 3. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. These things that we talked about on last week and this week is the things that God wants us to have. He wants us to be His people. He wants us to understand the characteristics of Himself, His Son, and the Spirit. And if we adopt these traits, these characteristics into our lives, we can be the people that we were created to be. To serve Him. Walking with your head high. That's what it's all about. Christians don't walk around with their heads down, moping, grumbling, complaining. That's not the Christian way. Jesus, when He went to the cruel cross of Calvary, did not go with His head down and said, "Oh, I dread this. I knew this day was coming." No, He did not. He did what the Father wanted Him to do. And we must do what the Father wants us to do. We walk with our heads high. We treat people the way we want to be treated. We live the way God has called us to live. And when we think about this, when we meet people out on the street, we treat them with respect. We treat them like when we meet strangers, we want to be treated. How many in here has never met a stranger before? That should be a whole lot of us. See, and I've never met a stranger before. Is your neighbor a stranger? No. Who is your neighbor? Everyone you meet.
Amen.
Okay? We go to different cities. We go to different counties. We go to different states. We go to different countries. We meet people that don't look like us. But those people should not be strangers. I'm talking to someone, Brother Glenn comes up, and I should be ready to introduce that person to Brother Glenn. Talking to that person and Brother Glenn listening, and Brother Glenn think, "I've known this person for years, but I just met him." That's the type of people we should be. I've had fun with people like that. I would tap them on their shoulder and I say, "Hey, what's going on?" I've looked at their name tag and I call them by their name, and they look at me like, "Who are you? You don't remember me?" And they say, "No." And I say, "You shouldn't, because you don't know me." But they know me now. They know that that's that person that like to mess with people. We need to be the people that Jesus is. That loves mankind. And being gentle to people. Being steadfast no matter when those people talk about us. And they're ready to destroy us. They're ready to persecute us. We should be ready to take those things because of who we are and what we stand for. Because we love them. We're ready to lift them up. To tell them that they are somebody. And that God sent His Son to die not just for me, but for you as well. And have faith that knowing one day that we will be in a much better place than where we are right now. And knowing that in order to get there, that we must have godliness. We must have godliness. Devout people serving a living God. Not a statue, but a living God. Not a portrait, but a living God. A God that we don't have to do things for, but a God that can do things for us. Do y'all understand that? Y'all remember Isaiah? When God talked about those gods that they had created, they was carving them out in wood and then using the other wood for fire to cook with and to keep warm with. Gods that they had to carry from place to place. Our God does not need to be carried anywhere. He carries us. We need to appreciate Him for that. And then righteousness. Acting in accord with divine or moral law. Once again. Acting in accord with divine or moral law. Doing what God wants us to do. Doing what God wants us to do. Are you pursuing after these things? Or do you need some help? Do you need somebody to pull you along? Do you need somebody to push you? I say no to all those three. What we need is we need to follow the leader. the shepherd. Follow him, and then these things will come, and I'm going to say it, they'll come easy. If we follow him, they'll come easy. There's work to be done, but they'll come easy.
Amen.
They'll come easy. I was looking at some people do some math the other day, and it was three different countries. It was the U.S., it was the Philippines, and it was China. And as they was doing that math, two of them finished about the same time, but one of them was doing it in such a simple manner. I was like, wow, I didn't know that. And if you ask me what it was, I'll tell you right now, I still don't know. But when it comes down to following after God, no matter where you're from, the U.S., China, Japan, Korea, the Philippines, no matter where you are, we can all follow him the same way. Because we have the same book. And the same book is going to teach us how to get to heaven. You believe in what God's word says. And how are you going to believe it if you don't hear it? Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
Yes.
Believing that Jesus is the Son of God, and Jesus tells them, and we need to tell people the same. If you do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you do not believe that he came to give his life for the sins of mankind, you will not get to heaven. He says, except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So when you meet those people that says Jesus was just another prophet, you say, no, he was not just another prophet. He was the prophet. The prophet, the one that told about what was going to happen to him, and it did happen. And the reason it happened is for you and I to be able to live, and not just here upon this earth, but live in eternity. So we must be willing to change our ways. We must be willing to turn away from sin, you know, telling Satan to get thee behind me, Satan, get hence. Be willing to repent for the things in which we have done wrong. Luke chapter 13, verse 3, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. See, we do not want to perish. We do not want to be, as Peter was saying to Simon the sorcerer, may your money perish with you. You know, repent. It's so easy to quit doing some things. You say, oh, how do you know it's easy? Because I've quit doing some things. Some of the very things that you were participating in, I participated in those same things. Some of them. Now, don't come to me and say, well, you didn't know. That was you. Some of them. Then we must be willing to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who is in heaven. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Be willing to submit to baptism. To have someone immerse you in the watery grave of baptism, because you can't baptize yourself. You need somebody to baptize you. Making that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, going in down into the watery grave of baptism, rising to walk a newness of life. Be willing to have your sins washed away, as Saul was told by Ananias. So why tarish thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Be willing to put him on through baptism. And then live faithful.
Amen.
Live faithful under persecution unto death. Revelation 2:10. You want to talk about me? You want to throw stones at me? You want to break my bones? Oh, go ahead and do so. I'm going to remain faithful. Nothing you can say, nothing you can do is going to make me turn my back on my Lord and my Savior.
Amen.
Now, I say that, and I say that like this, and the reason I say it like I said it is because you can't make me do it. You can't make me do it. I can do it myself now. I can turn my back on him, but you can't make me turn my back on him. No matter what you say about me, no matter how many times you talk about me, no matter how many times you curse me out, I am not going to turn my back on my Lord. And we have to continue to study. We study to show ourselves approved unto him. Not to win an argument. Not to prove a point. But we study to show ourselves approved unto him. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 in the verses 15. Or 3:15. 2:15. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, right and divine the word of truth. Because all scripture is given by the inspiration of God.
Amen.
It allows us to grow. The Bible teaches us in 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verses 18. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We learn more about him and what he represents. Not represented, but represents. The great example that he left for each one of us, we follow that example. The path that he left for us to follow. We don't stray off of that path, but we keep down that path. Let's do what's right. Let's be who God wants us to be. If you're here this morning, you're not a child of God, why not become one today? Why not put him on through the water of grave baptism? If you're here and you're strayed away, why not come back to him today? As we stand and sing the invitation hymn, we ask you to please come.